and welcome to Irreverent Testimony, brought to you by Netroots Radio, the political podcast by and for millennial and Gen Xer types from a left-wing perspective. It is Friday, October 28th, 2016.
The birthday of both of my brothers, 8 years apart.
Woohoo!
And my dad was born tomorrow, but like, you know, 30 years.
Did your folks time that? Or is that happenstance?
Well, it's kind of a gross thing in our family, because you're like, they definitely did the thing.
On purpose.
I don't think.
Because we like to pretend our parents were completely asexual and that we were all immaculately conceived, like Anakin Skywalker or something.
Right. Like my mom's birthday, though, is like in February, so it's just gross.
I got to tell you, everybody out there, all your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, if you knew them, they all boinked.
They did.
That's how you got here.
How you're here.
And they probably did all kinds of other kinky shit too. Oral and toys.
Well, back in the day, like oral was like super no.
Really?
Yeah, it was like very I mean,
yeah, but that's like, we're talking like 100 years ago.
Even back in like the 50s, my grandma, who is an oversharer.
Clearly, if you're about to talk about your grandma and blowjobs.
Well, not my grandpa, but just like in general. You know, the things that you kids talk about these days, we did not do back then. But anyway.
Wait a minute. The things you talk about, we don't talk about, or we don't actually do?
Well, the things you talk about, we don't do. Now, I don't know if.
That we didn't do.
I don't know if that means you talk about them. I don't know what that means. But what I'm basically saying is like, my brothers were born on the same day, 8 years apart. And my mom's birthday is like 8.5 months before that. So. Uh-huh.
Well, this is a perfect segue to Anthony Weiner.
Go ahead.
Okay, so 11 days left till the election, and the debate is over, and the polls are pretty much set, and you thought, oh, great, we're just going to coast maybe these last 11 days, maybe get another Trump bombshell or two.
Yeah, no.
80 or 90 more women coming forward who got groped.
Yep.
But no.
No.
James Comey decided that he was going to drop a, quote, bombshell. Which has turned out probably at this point of the night, if anybody's still awake, to be a big nothing burger.
Yep.
But it blew the entire world up today when James Comey sent a very vaguely worded letter to Congress like, there might be some more emails we need to check out that has something to do with the Hillary investigation. And that's basically literally all it said.
Right.
And of course, Jason Chaffetz and the Republicans all went apeshit.
Salivating.
And said they're reopening the investigation. Yes. and she might have broken the law, and here come the arrests. They lost their fucking minds. The Democrats, of course, went nuts and wetted the bed, and everybody went apeshit and crazy, and Chris Cillizza nearly jerked himself into a coma. And, you know, the whole world blew up because, hey, more Eghazi's back, and it's brand new. It's, you know,
and
season
then-
two.
What we're not hearing is what they were, which is
well, it turns out what it
nothing.
What it turns out to be is emails that were on or may have been on Huma Abedin's computer that may or may not have been shared with Anthony Weiner, who of course was her husband. I don't know if they're officially divorced yet, but
they were not.
Her husband at the time. They're still not officially divorced, but they're not living together.
Right.
In relation to, and we'll get into him later, what a piece of work he is.
Yep.
A sexting deal with a 15-year-old girl in North Carolina.
Let's back up though.
What's important is that apparently, what the FBI is doing, instead of Comey calling a press conference tomorrow and clearing this all up, he's leaking out all this information, or the FBI's leaking out all this information slowly. Like, oh, okay, well, no, back up. The emails, no, this is not
this
anything criminal.
Nothing to do with Hillary Clinton.
These aren't any emails that came from
literally,
Hillary.
Literally, let's make this clear. They're not from Hillary Clinton to her.
Apparently not, no.
At all.
No.
They are not about the foundation.
No.
They are not about Podesta.
They are not about WikiLeaks.
They are not about WikiLeaks. They are literally emails found on some device, which I want to get into logistics about in a minute, but
there's a lot of speculation. There's still a lot we don't know.
And so 11 days before the election, the FBI said, technically it wasn't closed, so we're just still investigating these emails that have nothing to do with Hillary Clinton or the foundation or John Podesta or anything
or
else.
Anything.
But we're going to make news about it, and we're not going to clarify.
Or we're not sent from or to Hillary Clinton.
Correct.
At all.
At all. Not from her or to her at all.
Yeah.
Not.
So these might literally be like emails.
Low-level staffers.
From Huma Abedin to her grandmother or.
What my speculation is like it's some low-level staffer to her girlfriend being like, God, Hillary is so over-preparing for these debates. Boring. And they're like, oh, fuck, we have new emails. We didn't know. We didn't know about this secret email address from the staffer's girlfriend that doesn't matter.
I don't think it's a secret email address.
Nothing about this matters. And to the point that sources are saying, yeah, no, it's not.
Okay. Well, this is what I was worried about is that, see, the God, and Comey, God, this guy either loves the spotlight or he's just so dense. That he doesn't realize the things he does and the decisions he makes that are supposedly to try to be apolitical and quiet political firestorms create them. And it's so obvious to everybody else.
I don't believe that.
You think he just craves the spotlight?
I do.
And he just likes to pretend not to.
And
he likes
that,
setting these fires and watching them. Because where he screwed up was in June. Mm-hmm. The only thing he had to say is we're not charging. There was nothing here to warrant a criminal charges, and that's it. That's all he had to say. Instead, he went on an hour long rant about how Hillary was sloppy and the merits of having a server.
But what about that is the FBI director's purview?
None.
This is a political statement that you're making, not an FBI director statement.
It's almost a personal statement.
It is.
And all that did, a value judgment statement. And all that did was open up the door to Republicans to go, wait a minute. If she did all this horrible, sloppy, bad stuff, why the hell didn't you charge her? You're corrupt.
And they didn't listen to the last half, which is, we're going to get to this in just a second, but the last half, which was, and all of that being said, my personal opinion aside, there was no unlawfulness found. There was no fraud. There was no laws were broken. Therefore, she's not being charged.
Right.
So.
But the whole point was him making that completely unwarranted.
Yes.
Personal, which he thought he was splitting the difference, right? He thought what he must have thought, if he was thinking, was, if I just come out and say no charges, everybody's going to go ape shit. I better talk about how bad this was, even though there's no charges, and that'll make everybody happy.
No, he's not that dense. I think he has an agenda. I didn't think so before.
So that everybody will know the name Jim Comey?
That given that this is 11 days before the election and he is, quote, reopening, and then when you dig down, it's not reopening because it was never closed.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's not even
the story
about Hillary's emails.
It's not a... Not from her, not to her, nothing to do with her. And he literally said, this is not about withholding, has nothing to do with the foundation.
He hasn't said any of that. That's the problem. These things are being leaked.
Right.
To the LA Times and to the Washington Post.
So, but here's my thing. This is nothing if not intentional. And I don't know this guy, and I don't know what his directives are, and I can't imagine he wants a Trump president. But
no, I don't think it's that.
It's not that he's stupid. Let's not make him into some sort of dopey guy that just didn't know.
Well, there's plenty of brilliant people who aren't politically savvy.
He's not one of them.
You're probably right.
No.
I mean, he's been around the block enough to know.
Yeah.
And in fact, the more galling thing was he sent this little 3-paragraph vague piece of crap that got blown up. And then he sent a much longer memo to his own FBI personnel being like, people might take this the wrong way. They might really lose their shit over this. I hope that doesn't happen. And it's like, dude, how could it not happen?
You did this 11 and to, I think it was Armando at Daily Coast.
Yeah, he's been
like,
all over this today.
Like, this is going to take more than 11 days, right? So
maybe not.
What's the fucking point? And just to get into the details a little bit, I have a lot of questions about this, and I don't know that you're going to be able to answer them, but like I have a lot of logistical questions.
Nobody can answer it so far.
They found, quote, another device, right? That's what they said.
That's not even clear, because there's a lot of speculation that there's no way they couldn't have known about this laptop.
Okay, but wait. Hold on. Yeah. I use email. You use email.
Yeah.
Does it matter what device you use? Email's in the email,
If it's State Department email, then it matters in terms of their investigation, because they're trying to make sure that no improperly classified emails were sent to or from this private server. That is the whole crux of the big investigation. So they're trying to track down every lead, and Huma Abedin.
Wait a minute. Let's just stop. Let me just stop you there, because I feel like for people like me, I'm like, if someone were like, we're investigating your emails, how many devices did you use? I would be like, oh, I don't know, all of them. Like my
smartphone, and that's what they did.
Dana's smartphone, my Kindle,
my laptop, you've probably sent emails from your laptop. And vice versa. Sure.
Yeah, like how many does it matter the devices that you're using? Like this is my question, is like, aren't all of those emails in an email thing that doesn't matter the device that you're sending?
Yes.
So discovering a new device is confusing for me.
And the speculation at this hour is that these emails have already actually been reviewed, but since it's been revealed that it might have been on this other laptop they didn't necessarily account for, maybe we should just double, triple check that.
Well, that's what they said. They didn't say that exactly. But
no, that's
said,
what they're leaking. This is the problem. Yes. None of this is being said officially.
Okay. And also, let's be really clear about what is actually happening and what the repercussions of what they've said is going to happen. We'll get to that. Right?
Let's just try to sort out the actual facts.
Okay, does it actually matter what device? That's my real question.
It matters, and this is where we get back into Wienergate, the gift that keeps on giving. It matters because this is another thing that Comey fucking did. He left this very vague, tantalizing line in his little 3-paragraph blurb to Congress about an, quote, other investigation. Now, we're not sure, but everybody's speculating that, quote, other investigation is the Wienergate sexting scandal.
With the minor. Okay, that has literally nothing to do with Hillary Clinton. Can we give me a moment.
Yeah.
Can we please stop blaming women for the men in their lives' misbehavior?
Well, I haven't even gotten to that yet.
No, literally.
I know what you're
saying.
Why are
we talking about Anthony Weiner and Hillary Clinton in the same sentence? Why? Do you want to know why? Because his wife was Huma Abedin.
Yes.
Who worked for Hillary Clinton. So now we're going to blame Hillary Clinton for Anthony Weiner's bullshit because his wife worked for, like,
Let me tell you how much I can take of this fucking bullshit.
Rachel, hold on a second.
All right. I don't think the FBI sat down.
I don't think they did either. Which is also not the point, right? Like,
No. Let me connect the dots for you a second. Okay. What they're speculating is, well, what everybody's speculating, because James Comey still hasn't said shit since this little 3-paragraph
bullshit
teaser, is that there was a home laptop which Anthony Weiner and Huma Abedin may have shared. And because he may have sent the Weiner pics.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead. No.
You don't think that's true?
No, I just think everything you're about to say after that is just garbage.
But finish
the thought in case anyone wasn't there.
This is where the FBI has got something up their butt about wanting to double check that there wasn't any compromised classified information. That was it.
Huma Abedin and Anthony Weiner may have shared a fucking laptop
that Weiner may have used to sext
an underage person.
Yes.
Which is somehow Hillary Clinton's fault because her aide used the same laptop as her pervert husband.
Well, that's what the Republicans are going to tell you. Yes.
Okay. So, I'm running out of any tolerance for bullshit.
What I'm trying to explain is why this isn't even a thing the FBI might be looking at.
Please do that.
Because if Huma Abedin was using, potentially, we don't know, her State Department email on that laptop, and Anthony Weiner was sending pictures of his wiener to 15-year-old girls in North Carolina on that same laptop,
then
there may have been some sort of security compromise in theory. And I think,
okay, cool. If I were in North Carolina and a murder happened, and I, like, that's an insane That makes no logical sense technologically.
It certainly doesn't make sense to release it in a cryptic memo 11 days before an election and say, oh, geez, I hope this doesn't turn political.
Oh, I hope it doesn't turn political, which is what he actually said. He's like, or some source, I guess, through a reporter said, this may have an impact politically, but definitely not legally. And like, can I just break that down for a second? Because Dana and I were talking about this earlier, and I'm very upset. I'm really trying to rein it in. So you cannot say something like, this may have a large political effect, but probably not a legal one. That's, to me, in this context, sort of like, I don't know, criminal election rigging. Like, that's sort of like saying, as the director of the FBI, I'm going to make this claim that is very nuanced, but I'm not going to explain it. But it's going to seem like the Democratic presidential nominee might be under investigation by the FBI for something. It's not true, and that's not what's happening, but it might seem like that's what's happening, and it might have large political ramifications, but legally nothing is there, is literally what he said, essentially, or what a source said.
Right.
And so I guess, like, you and I should get into the nuances, but I kind of want to talk about, like, what the public is going to hear. Because it's not going to be the nuance. It's not going to be all the shit we're going to talk about.
What all the public has been hearing all the last 8 hours or whatever since this broke is more email investigations, FBI. That's it.
Well, no, more than that. They're going to hear FBI reopens investigation. So the story, I'm sure Trump's already running ads, is...
Oh, yeah. Right away, he...
FBI reopened investigation into Clinton email scandal.
Oh, and all the papers, right? Ran that headline, too.
That's,
which was wrong.
The fucking story.
Yeah.
No, that is not the story.
Well, that is not the truth.
That's not the truth.
No.
But that's the story.
Yeah.
And so what I want to talk about is how reckless and dangerous and maddening it is to say something to the media like, we're reopening an investigation into Clinton about the emails, as the director of the FBI... You're not doing that.
Right.
You're not. And he can come out later in, like, you know, like...
I think he's going to have to come out tomorrow something.
In the, like, liner notes, you're like, well, it was never really closed. We're not really reopening it. It was always open. And it has nothing to do with her. She didn't send any of them. And also, by the way, and all of these
Well, that's
nuances,
exactly what he needs
right?
to say.
But he's not... What I'm saying is, all the public is going to hear is, FBI reopens email investigation into Clinton.
Yes.
And everything that happens after that is going to be not heard. Not heard, not covered, nobody cares. It's just, they're going to run ads. All people are going to hear is FBI reopens email investigation into Clinton 11 days before the election.
For at least one news cycle. But you forget about this election cycle, Rachel. By tomorrow there might be video of Trump, you know, sodomizing a goat. I mean... Seriously.
That's true, but I don't think that excuses the reckless, dangerous, completely maddening behavior of James Comey.
No, absolutely not. And people are calling for his head tonight, and people are losing their shit tonight.
They should be.
Like you mentioned Armando, his Twitter feed has been great. Armando, he gets very emotional about this stuff.
So do I.
Yeah, but he's really been on top of it, and that's where I've been getting a lot of my news from. Yeah, I think Dianne Feinstein sent a letter. I think some other people in Congress sent a letter, and it were like, WTF are you doing, man? And even like former prosecutors, federal prosecutors are like, this is way out of bounds to do at this stage unless you had a like something here was serious and needed to be brought up. Like, this is nuts for you to do it. And he felt pressure to do it basically because Republicans have been calling for his head because he didn't press charges. And he felt like if this came out, he thought about himself, if it came out a week after the election that, oh, there were some more emails that we had to look at, but we didn't mention it back then, like, they'd lose their shit. And he might be right, but this is way worse.
I agree. I also think it's a little bit more sinister, to be honest, because all the WikiLeaks stuff that's been coming out, right?
Yeah.
Which amount to basically nothing.
No, no, it fires up the Trump supporters, but there's really nothing there.
But
mundane campaign shit.
So there's nothing there, which we've covered in past podcasts.
Right.
But it's been leaking out. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the director of the FBI comes out and says, we're reopening the email investigation. There's a very, very easy way to tie those two things together in a campaign ad.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, and they were doing that all day.
I'm sure the fucking campaign ads were already goddamn ready. Like, all these WikiLeaks, then the FBI finally, to Donald Trump's success, said Hillary Clinton's a criminal, and look, they're finally reinvestigating her. Yeah, yeah,
that's exactly what Twitter was saying for 2 hours.
Yeah, like that is what's actually happening. Now, it does the point of my talking about the nuance is it doesn't matter. It has doesn't fucking matter what the truth is. Doesn't matter why they reopened the investigation or opened it again or it wasn't ever closed or it has nothing to do with actually her and nothing to do with any of the things. It doesn't matter. Right. All it is a way for them to run more ads and strengthen this narrative that she's a criminal, right, and the FBI is reinvestigating,
exactly,
her.
Yeah.
And that's all it is.
Yeah.
And it feels to me like seriously on purpose. It really feels to me like this man or this organization or someone or something is doing this on purpose at this point in time in order to affect the outcome of this election. That is how it feels to me.
I wouldn't go that far. I think it is just incredible amount of naivete and incompetence and boobery in a sense.
You're the director of the FBI. You think he's naive? More than you and me? That seems improbable to me.
I think his lust for covering his ass, I think, you know, when you screw up and then to try to compensate for your screw up, you take a rash action and that winds up making things worse. I think it's more that than I'm going to affect the outcome of this election. I think it was an overreaction by Comey, who really fucked up by doing his personal 1 hour opinion editorial when he announced there would be no charges back in June. And then he's felt so much pressure from that, especially from Republicans, to say, oh boy, I better go out of the way to be super transparent because they think I'm corrupted. And so there's a couple more emails on this device we have to look at, which isn't really related to anything, but I better just, you know, send this letter and let them know, hey, I'm still on the ball here. Without fully realizing how it was going to be received. I believe that.
I don't. I'm sorry.
You might be right. He's, I mean, there's no way we can know.
There's no way that this man has risen this far up inside of intelligence services.
Oh, sure. There's politics and everything. Politics. Absolutely.
He
You're
doesn't
right.
understand that on October 28th, when the election is November 8th, that him coming out with this, oh, maybe there was something else to that, we'll explain the details and subtleties later. Didn't have an impact on the fucking election. I refuse to believe that that's true. Or if it is true, then he's even more incompetent than he is corrupt. Like, I'd prefer he be corrupt than more incompetent. I don't think so. I think he got so much shit and so much pressure to do something. And there was no late October surprise. There wasn't one.
Right.
From any side.
Not a real
one.
That
he was like, oh, we found that other device from the lady from the thing and the guy that doesn't matter and has nothing to do with Clinton, but we can reopen the investigation and that'll make all the Republicans happy. And I'm a Republican and fine, fuck it. I'll just do it. And like, I don't know that he wants Trump to be president, but I do think he's getting so much pressure from the Republican Party that like, this is the late October surprise.
You're
this
basically agreeing with me to a point.
But I don't think he's naive. I think he did it on purpose. I think he knew that this was...
He needed to get back in the good graces of his own party.
Yes, and I think that he knew that this was a nothing, but he could say it and not be dishonest. Because he said, well, it was never really closed, and then we found these other emails. They don't matter, but he knows the news story is going to be...
He hasn't even come out and said that yet. It's all leaking out. He's having people leak it out. So
he's just a fucking pussy. Sorry, but fuck that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and he
can't even come out and be like, we're investigating her because we found something, because that's not true.
He couldn't do it the same night. I think he might have to say something tomorrow or Sunday.
That's like literally has nothing to do with her.
Yeah, he
it's
might.
Not from her or to her.
Well, the Clinton campaign is demanding, you better spill the details. Even Republicans are saying the same thing. Of course, Republicans think that it's some big bombshell that...
It's not.
No, it's not. And they're going to be disappointed. But actually, you know, even John Cornyn was like, really? 11 days before the email? You better tell us what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
And John Podesta said the same thing. And
yeah.
It's like, everybody's like,
and all the leaks
WTF
are
is
just
this
like,
about?
Not anything. They're like, well, nothing basic. Everybody, all the leaks that I saw were like, probably nothing. There's some separate device and it's probably something from staffers and it has nothing to do with her. We know for sure. It has nothing to do with
it's not emails from or to Hillary her. Clinton is what I read in the LA Times,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, not to her or from her and not about the foundation and not about John Podesta.
Oh, that all came out right away.
So
like they leaked that like immediately.
What the fuck is it about?
It's about nothing.
Right. So why are we doing this 11 days? And there was a
why
really
would you
smart
release that memo? Yeah.
Comment from somebody on Armando's Twitter today that was like, okay, if it is something, it's going to take more than 11 days to figure out. So why now? Like, there's no way that you just discovered this. And if you did, then you're incompetent. They have been investigating her for years about her emails.
Yeah, there's some confusion about it too, that they've known about this laptop for 5 months and that they just advised him yesterday to do something.
No,
I don't know.
It's absolutely political. And I refuse to believe that anyone involved doesn't think that. And it didn't know in some way that this would be political. Now, whether it's for their own gain or to fuck with the election.
Or cover their own ass.
Or cover their own ass. Up for debate. But there's no way that anyone that did this today did not think this would be political in some way. There's I don't believe in naivete on this one.
Okay. Well, that is what kills you, right? Is that he sends this memo, this much longer memo to his own employees. And like, oh, people might take this the wrong way. So,
it's not going to be legally a thing, but it's probably politically going to be a thing. Watch out. And you're like, cool, you're a dick. I'm sorry, but that is absolute nonsense. It's madness. It's irresponsible. It's reckless. It is absolutely incomprehensible why 11 days before the campaign you're going to do something like this. Again, I want to stress the reason that I think that is not because there might or might not be something there, but because that doesn't matter. The narrative to the American public is not going to be the nuanced version of this. The narrative to the public is going to be the FBI reopened an investigation into Hillary Clinton about the emails. That's
yeah, okay,
all they're
well,
going to hear,
let's go right,
and they don't care.
Let's go right to the flip side of that, though, right? And the polls are going to tell a different story, and I'm going to get to that, but if you give a shit about this Hillary email thing, you have made up your mind a long time ago. If you don't give a shit about the Hillary email thing, you've made up your mind a long time ago. Are there really that many, quote, undecided voters out there that this could possibly swing?
I don't know. I talked to a guy tonight. He's from Utah. He's going to vote in Utah.
Okay.
And he's from here. He's working here currently.
Yeah.
And he's...
It's a tight three-way race there. McMullen, Hillary,
and
Trump.
It's weird that it's maybe a little bit of a swing state for the first time. He's from Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
I think he's a Mormon kid. He's 19. He's never voted before. And he really doesn't know what he's going to do. And
I think there's a lot of people in Utah feeling that way.
I talked to him for a while about like, and I was being very like low pressure, but just like, you know, here's why some of your fellow Utahns are not going to vote for Trump. You know, like, they feel offended by some of the things he said about women and some of the things he said about particularly refugees that issue, because the Mormon community back in the 1800s was targeted by the U.S. government and militias and killed and murdered and slaughtered and not given refugee status. So they're very sensitive to this issue.
Yes.
And his comments about refugee status people and people that need help really resonate with them in the wrong way.
Yeah.
They're also a very polite people, and they very much take offense to his sort of brash way, right?
Yeah.
Like, they don't think that it's cute
right.
when he says bad words, and they don't think
it's... We shouldn't generalize. Not all Mormons. Plenty of them like Trump just fine. But enough of them don't, where it's genuinely
a split. Yeah, absolutely. Like, this is a weird election in that, like...
Yeah.
people from Utah, and Mormons in particular, they're the voting bloc essentially of Utah, vote Republican.
Well, and Romney won it by 60 points because he is Mormon.
Kind of right. Yeah. And he's from, yeah.
But George W. Bush won by like 30.
So, yeah. Right. But there, the reason that it's up for play is because of
Trump. Yeah. And absolutely.
And this kid, he's 19 and he's talking to me and he's like, yeah, I agree. Like, and he said, God bless, like two times before this. Right. So he's got some kind of thing, but he's like, I agree. Like, I don't like the way he talks about people just generally.
So vote like McMullen.
And he's like, but I also, he's like, I was a Bernie guy. And okay. I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. And I
did
was
you,
like,
so
me
why?
Too.
Did
me
you
too.
Ask him why?
I did.
Yeah.
And so we talked about how, if you were for Bernie, you can't be for Trump, right?
Yeah, it's impossible.
And he so interesting. He was like, but I Googled it because I was too young back when it happened, but mm-hmm. I knew that I like Barack Obama a lot, especially like the first lady. And I was like, who fucking doesn't? Yeah. FLOTUS is like the greatest human being on earth. He's like, but I Googled it and I looked at these videos from the 2008 primary, and Barack Obama had a lot of really bad things to say about Hillary Clinton.
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't know how to square that with her running today. And why is he primarying, or like, why is he like campaigning for her?
Well, she was the Secretary of State too.
And I sort of tried to explain to him, like, this is politics. Yeah. And it was a really, really bitter primary.
Oh, to be so young and naive and innocent.
And like, we talked for like an hour. And like, I was like, you know,
I was never that innocent.
That is politics, you know? And you have to remember that after he won, she gave maybe the greatest political speech in the last 10 years.
No, he doesn't. He was a baby.
And go watch that.
Yeah.
You know, go watch her
go
endorse
YouTube
him.
He was...
And then remember, what did he do? He hates her so much, all that stuff he watched on YouTube. He then made her his Secretary of State, which is really the most important position next to president that you can have. And he trusted
absolutely.
Her with that position. And then they became good friends and they have dinner once a week and whatever. And he was like, oh, that's all good points. And I'll go watch that speech. And, you know, he's just this very like independent voter, like just very malleable guy who's like, that's a good point. But what about this? And you explain that. And he's like, well, that's a good point too. And so we like had this really interesting conversation, and he's voting in Utah.
Yeah.
And I said, who are your parents voting for? And he said, they're not going to vote.
Yeah.
And I said, are they Mormon?
Yeah.
And he's like, they are.
That's another big
subset.
And
he like looked at me like he was sad. And I was like, don't be sad. Like, I have family members of mine are Mormon, friends of mine are Mormon. It's okay. I was like, but they're just not going to vote.
Like my dad.
He's like, well, they're going to vote, but they're just not going to vote for president. And I was like,
there's a lot of
that
too.
That's okay.
A lot of that too.
I wish they would vote down ballot D, but they're probably going to vote down ballot R.
Sure. But I don't think there's any competitive races in Utah right now that I know of.
He told me that there was a lot of independent. That there's a lot of independent parties that are running.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know that much about Utah in terms of independent parties.
Did he mention McMullen at all? Because I don't know much about McMullen.
No. And he didn't know much about
Utah
politics.
That's a problem.
To be honest. But he was, in terms of his presidential vote, he was a little bit torn up about it because he likes Obama and he likes Sanders, but he's heard a lot about stuff about Hillary. And
but he's not going to vote Trump.
No.
It's going to be Hillary or McMullen.
Well, by the time I was done with him, he's voting for Hillary. we're good. We're fine. Don't worry about it. He's going to vote for Hillary Clinton, of course.
But he's going to be bombarded with all this.
I had him for an hour. He's fine. And he's going to convince his 19-year-old friends that that's the right thing
to
do.
You just got
to
put it. If you can put in an hour, 24 hours around the clock for the next 11 days with every 19-year-old in Utah, we can flip it, Rachel.
19-year-old Utah boy. Just get
him in
a room.
Let's line
him up. Just get him in a room. I'll have a whole speech. It's fine. No, he's like, you're right.
With their little ties. And
oh, he was so cute. But, I was like, you've got to vote for Hillary. You have to do that. You know that, right? And he was like, yeah, I wasn't gonna, but like, you're right. And I was like, I know. And he was like, I do have to. And I was like, you do have to, though. Even if you don't love her, and I don't need you to love her. I don't, but I do need you to vote for her. And not just for, I was like, you're a white dude. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, you straight? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, cool. So for people like me and people that aren't like you, might not affect you that much if Donald Trump becomes president. Like, it's going to affect the global economy in a way that will affect you, but maybe not as directly.
Yeah.
But for people like me and for people that are minorities that you may not know that many of or really realize, it's going to really directly affect our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, all right, can I ask you a question? And I was like, sure. And he's like, so the illegal immigrants. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I don't think we should just deport everybody. That sounds kind of crazy. And I was like, agreed. And he's
so like, as do most Americans.
But I do think, like, if they're like raping people and stuff, like, they shouldn't be allowed in the country, right?
Well, neither does anybody.
Like, right. Everyone agrees with you on that. So anyone who commits a crime in the United States goes to jail. And anyone who's committed a crime in a different country gets extradited back to that country. And the rates of that are pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, don't believe Trump that, like, all
the immigrants are rapists.
Like, the rate of that is incredibly low.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and also, like, do you want to pay $8 for a bunch of bananas?
$10
gotta, for a gallon of milk.
You got to appeal to that.
You know,
you got
to
appeal to that.
Because he was talking about a little bit of that, and I was like, legitimately, our economy is fed on and really reliant on immigrant labor, and I don't think that's a good thing necessarily. I think we should bring those people out of the shadows and give them citizenship and make sure they're not being exploited, and give all of them amnesty. Amnesty to me is not a bad word. Like, I'm a liberal. Like, I'm like way beyond the Democratic Party liberal.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But like talking to some kid from Utah, I'm talking about like the price of bananas and milk, and being like, you know, do you want to not be able to afford milk? Because who do you know? Do you know anybody in Utah that's going to go like work farm labor for $5 an hour?
Yeah.
And he's like, no. And I'm like, me either. And we tried that experiment. It didn't work. And he's like, yeah, but they're not raping everybody. And I'm like, no, they're not.
He had to ask you that, huh?
Yeah. I was like, no, they're not. People like you are more likely to rape me.
Did you say that?
Yeah. And he was like, no, like me. And I was like, just saying, they look like you and they're about your age, much more likely to rape or sexually assault me than a Mexican immigrant who's pulling bananas. Like, that's just a fact. And he was like, well, I would never do that. I'm like, I'm not saying you would do that, but I'm saying you are the demographic of men. Oh,
these young,
that would
pliable minds.
Oh, it was so good.
We really need to send you to
it,
like,
was so good.
Mormon colleges.
By the time
and
he
Liberty
was done,
University.
He left and he was like, let's hope everything works out and Hillary wins, right? And I was like, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was super fun because he just didn't know much.
No, and he wasn't going to get straight information from his peers or from the TV.
Because they don't know and they don't care and they're not going to vote. And I was like, also, you have to vote and you have to make everyone you know vote. And like, At one point, Dana was like, we are legally obligated to ask you to vote. And he was like, are you?
So and wait a minute. Like, was this a kid coming door to door?
Door to door.
Oh, I thought this was some kid you knew.
No. This was a door to door kid trying to sell me a security system in my house.
So is he going back to Utah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. He lives in Utah and he's just going door to door from this company. And
good job, guys.
Well, I mean, I got a hold of him. What was I going to do?
He was thrilled somebody let him in the house.
Yeah. And then I just got a hold of him and he asked me what I did. And I was like, well, let's talk about politics.
That's a beautiful story.
No, yeah.
Was that today?
Yeah, it was today.
Oh, wow.
That was between like 1 and 3.
You didn't tell me.
Three.
You were saving that for the show. Yeah, Very good.
It was really cute though.
So we got a few minutes for the break because we're going to get to some non-election stuff after the break that's pretty interesting that we need to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And let me do a little diatribe here. I don't think, not only based on the newest revelations, that this thing tonight is going to move the needle all that much. I mean, early voting's already started. People are locked in.
Yeah.
It's the polling is going to look ugly for us, I think, for a few days because this effect that we've talked about this before, when bad news kind of breaks, the other party's respondents get excited and answer the phone, and then that party's people hang up the phone. This is why after the third debate, a lot of Republicans tuned out and said, geez, we're totally fucked. It's over. And Democrats got excited. And you saw these 13, 14, 15 point leads for Hillary, which we knew were artificial.
Right.
We knew she was not leading by that much. She's not going to win by that much.
God, I wish she would.
But I think you're going to see the same thing over the next few days, probably. And you'll see some polling that's going to get very tight and polling with Trump leading, and everybody's going to freak out. And
they're going to have ads about how there's an FBI investigation, and do you want your president to be investigated by the FBI?
Sure.
Can hit back and say, do you want your president to be investigated for child rape? You know, I mean, how dirty are we going
to
get?
Well, I'm gonna get to that, right?
Yeah.
And I don't even necessarily know there's going to be that many ads. Trump would have to spend a lot of his own money, which he's always promises to and never does. Hold on.
Let's talk about that.
This is my point. How much faith do I have in the American people? Not that much. And I think it's going to be evidenced by the fact that Hillary's probably going to win this race by 5 to 6, 7 points maybe. Maybe there's a bunch of hidden vote out there and it's more like 8 or 9, but at this point, I think it's probably going to be more like 5 or 6. An electoral college landslide, to be sure. Mm-hmm. But in reality, we're 5 points away from a fascist, sexual, assaulting, unqualified, bigoted crook. Mm-hmm. Because on the other hand, something email. And when you really break it down to brass tacks, it gets really stupid, because you could take this 19-year-old kid or just Joe Blow off the street who's like, man, I don't know, I don't like either of these candidates. Maybe I'll vote Trump. And you're like, okay, well, what don't you like about Trump? Well, you know, he's a sexist pig and he sexually assaulted those women. And then Trump University, he scammed those people. Man, that sucks. Mm-hmm. And he uses charity to pay off these people to not get investigated. And all, you know, that's really gross. And he talks about giving everybody nuclear weapons. And
he scammed all those people out of all that money.
And he
hired them to do work like my dad. He's a carpenter and he didn't pay them.
And he insults women. And it's horrible. It's like, yeah, that's like, well, what about Hillary? Well, it's that email thing.
Yep.
Well, what happened? Well, it was something with a server and the classified something.
Yep.
Well, what exactly happened?
Nothing.
Well, it was illegal, yes. And the FBI did something with mm-hmm. the email. It's mm-hmm. bad.
She's under investigation from the FBI.
And she's always, it's always bad things. No, he won't even articulate that.
Right,
properly.
Right.
It's just, and it's like, okay, so who do you vote for? I don't know. I don't like either of them. And that's like literally hold on.
Yeah.
That is literally the mindset of enough Americans. Where this amorphous email thing they couldn't even possibly explain to you, let alone today's crap that we twisted ourselves into knots trying to explain and it's still not clear, mm-hmm. rather than the whole thing, which, yes, the Twitter Denzians who, you know, pass around all the chain emails and everything and make up a bunch of shit and spit out a bunch of worthless, non-existent facts, yeah. will tell you, like your average Joe Blow citizen who's out there, I don't really like either of them, maybe I'll vote Trump, whatever. It's like, it's literally this laundry list of horrible, and I didn't even mention not releasing your taxes. This.
There's a million things you didn't mention that you couldn't possibly.
No, I couldn't get it. I could recite the whole Keith Olbermann 45-minute rant, not get them all in. All this horrible crap that is easily quantifiable.
Yes.
That the man on the street or your Aunt Marge can easily repeat. Oh, what did Trump do? Oh, he sexually assaulted women. He's cheated people. He didn't release his taxes. He's casual
Mexicans
with nuclear weapons.
Rapists.
He called Mexican rapists. Like, but I don't like Hillary either because something email.
Yeah.
Like it's in, and literally, and we have to thank the press for this mm-hmm. because the press has hammered this in. This both sides bad.
This false narrative of
false narrative.
Yep.
That in theory, yeah, a late breaking bombshell that doesn't even make sense and people can't wrap their heads around and it doesn't even add up. Yeah, could swing enough people out there that are just kind of, you know, bobbleheading around. I don't like either one. I don't know. Oh, this Hillary thing. Oh,
there's
another Hillary
thing.
I guess
I
will
she
vote
really
Trump.
Is corrupt. Fuck it. I'll vote Trump.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That could happen.
And
like,
they go like, top of the news, Donald Trump assaulted 4 more women today. Yeah. And also there was a bomb in Aleppo. Anyway, Kim Kardashian has a large butt. And also there was like, you know, we destroyed his thing in his Hollywood star. And you're like,
right.
Whoa, the big stories there were not about anything other than, I'm sorry, a presidential nominee for president in a Republican Party assaulted 2 more women? Maybe that shouldn't be a headline. Maybe that should be an investigative journalism story because it fucking matters.
Oh, that wasn't a hypothetical, by the way. 2 more women did
came
come
out.
Forward
correct.
Today.
And, that's correct.
And it literally got 0 play because of this FBI Comey nothing burger.
And because we don't care.
As a country, no.
We don't care.
No. And so I'm very depressed right now. I mean, Hillary's going to win. We're probably still going to take back the Senate.
Yeah.
Although maybe not.
Oh, we will.
Maybe it could be worst case scenario. But even if it's not, like, America has shown itself to me in a sense. The press has shown itself to me in a real ugly sense.
Yeah.
And, like, the rule book has completely been changed to accommodate Trump and a both sides narrative.
Yeah.
In that it, so from here going forward, why would any presidential candidate of either party release their taxes?
Never again.
Why would they be legitimate with any sort of charity they might claim to have? Mm-mm. Like,
not necessary.
It doesn't really damage you that much, and it
doesn't really matter as long as you're just racist and sexist and xenophobic and bigoted enough. It doesn't really matter about anything else. You just have to stop with the dog whistling and straight up whistle.
And then none
of it matters.
Neither the Republican Party, nor the press, nor the American people, any of these 50 disqualifying things about Donald Trump stepped up and said, no, this is disqualifying.
Yep.
We're not serious anymore. Because if it did, you would have never had the polls within 10 points.
No.
And they've never really been that steep. Which tells you that we just don't care.
Can I also say it is a product of sexism? If Hillary Clinton were a man, this would not be close.
You could very well be right about that.
I'm absolutely right about that. If Hillary Clinton were a man, this would be a joke.
You're probably right.
And you think
that's part of why these hypothetical polls that show if Bernie Sanders was running, he'd be winning by 20?
Yep. He's a socialist.
Yeah.
If it were John Kerry in this election, or Al Gore, or John Edwards, slimy guy that he was, who cares? Nobody would care, right? Doesn't matter. It's a woman running for the highest office of the hegemony of the world.
Yeah.
It's sexism.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back to talk about some local Colorado stuff and Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, let's do that.
Wait till you hear about that.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Irreverent Testimony. We're going to switch gears a little bit, talk about some Colorado politics, local politics.
Yeah,
what did you want to start with?
I feel a little bad about last week. We kind of got jumped into the ballot issue, and we talked about Colorado Care in a way that was like, we didn't really know what we were talking about.
Did we talk about it last week?
We did. And we didn't really know what we were talking about.
And now we do. Or at least you do.
I do a little bit more. So Colorado Care Amendment 69 in Colorado is the universal health care ballot initiative.
Now, is it universal or is it single payer?
It is single payer.
Okay, there's a difference.
There is. It is single payer.
Right.
And Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren came to Colorado
with a banjo on their knee.
Yes. To stump for Hillary. But also Bernie Sanders had a specific address about Colorado Care.
Yeah.
And we talked last week a little bit about the abortion thing, which I'm going to address more directly because I know more about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little more prepared tonight. But also I want to talk about the other reasons that, you know, I'm a Bernie supporter and I very sadly voted, like I shed a single tear voting against Colorado Care. So let me just tell you a little bit about why.
Okay.
So Colorado Care is a single payer system for Colorado State.
It's on the ballot.
It's on the ballot. Right. It's a citizen initiative referendum.
Right.
And gosh, it's a good idea. And good God, I'd love to vote for it. I want single payer healthcare in this country more than anybody I could imagine. I'm not against single payer. I don't think it's socialist. I'm not against the idea. The problem that we encountered when we really researched it more before we voted was a litany of things. Let me start with the abortion loophole, which we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
So we are all familiar with the Hyde Amendment, right?
Yes.
Colorado has its own version of the Hyde Amendment, which prevents any taxpayer dollars from being paid.
Well, hold on. Some of our friends probably don't know what the Hyde Amendment is, okay. So why don't we back up?
All right. So the Hyde Amendment is a federal amendment that prevents any federal tax dollars from being apportioned to abortion.
Right.
Right? So you can't be on, like, Medicaid and have an abortion and have the government pay for it, right? Taxpayer dollars cannot go toward abortion.
So it has to be privately funded or weird.
Or personally funded.
Personally funded.
And so a lot of, just getting a little off topic, but let's just, I just want to be like over
but
there.
But then it's just elective abortion, right? Like if your life was in.
No.
I thought it was.
Nope.
Oops.
Nope.
See?
Yep.
This is, I'm glad we brought it up.
Yep. Nope. No taxpayer funding can go toward any abortion.
Even
services.
If it's saving your life.
Correct. Which is fundamental problem with Colorado Care, which we're going to get to.
Okay.
But the Hyde Amendment essentially says that no money, no taxpayer money can go toward abortions. Colorado has its own version of the Hyde Amendment, and it's basically written exactly the same, except it's a little bit more vague, and it includes abortifacients or abortifacients. I call them that. Dana corrects me and says it's abortifacients, which essentially is birth control that the right wing has determined to be abortions. So that sounds crazy, but what that means is things like IUDs or RU486 or whatever would be termed abortifacients. And that means that if you have an IUD in your body, the pro-life people deem that to be an abortion. So basically...
Yeah, we're not kidding, by the way.
I'm not kidding at all. I have an IUD, and it has saved my life in more ways than one because I have endometriosis, and it has... the Mirena IUD has helped me to combat my pain and a host of other things. But this particular form of birth control, which is not what I use it for, but... it is a form of birth control, a very effective, one of the most effective forms of birth control that exists,
mm-hmm.
primarily because you don't have to take a pill.
Right.
It is inserted into your uterus, and the type that I have has a hormonal component that also helps with the other things that traditional hormonal birth control help with things like, you know, pain with periods and stuff like that. The extreme right-wing pro-life movement thinks that I guess basically I'm just having an abortion all the time. Like every day of my life,
abortion.
I'm just constantly having an abortion all the time. Like I'm just an abortion factory over here, just constantly aborting fetuses because there's this device in my uterus that's just kicking fetuses out.
Yeah.
Now that is completely untrue and completely
and
medically
scientifically ridiculous.
And scientifically completely not factual, but that is how they have described this device. So
enough that the state legislator said, yep, and passed a law to that end.
Correct. So the abortion loophole that we talked about last week that I was a little bit fuzzy on essentially is that So there's two things. Well, there's three. So one is, women that, so if Colorado Cure were to pass, it would really legitimately be the only healthcare system in Colorado.
Right.
Now, in the law, it says that you could have private health insurance.
Right.
But why would anyone have private health insurance?
If you were rich.
And we're going to get to that in a minute. They're all going to leave, which is another reason.
Mm-hmm.
Number two.
You mean all the state insurers?
Every health insurance company that's private would leave. We're going to get to that in a minute.
Mm.
So, but in terms of this abortion and sort of women's reproductive rights healthcare loop, it would prohibit, if I'm a part of this system, which will become the only system, which we're going to explain in a minute, it would prohibit my insurance from covering things like IUDs, maybe not hormonal birth control, but certainly any other kind of birth control that the anti-choice movement has termed abortifacient, which is pretty broad. The other thing is that we talked about late-term abortions a little bit after the debate happened, and we didn't really get into the fact that Colorado is one of the only states that provides late-term abortions to women.
Mm-hmm.
They are traumatic. These are women who have found late in their pregnancies that their fetuses or babies or whatever you want to call them are either dead, going to die, or going to kill the mother, or have such tremendous defects, fetal defects, that they
would have a life of pain and misery, basically.
Pain and misery for a couple months and then die.
So it's not like you're 8 months into your pregnancy and you're like, nah.
Never mind. No.
No, it doesn't work
and
like that.
And the people that perform late-term abortions have absolute discretion on which abortions they're going to perform. And Colorado is one of the only states, I think it's one of three, that has, and I think we only have two providers. Those abortions are often life-saving for the mother, and very, very often basically just, I have an unviable fetus in my body and I don't want to have it in my body for the next 3 months or two so that I can have a stillborn baby.
Yeah.
And potentially have blood infections and things like that.
Sure. Yeah.
So these are very expensive.
Yeah.
They cost a lot of money, and people come literally from all over the world. There's a documentary on Netflix called After Tiller that I recommend everyone watch if you have questions about late-term abortions and the sort of moral questions that these abortion providers have and how they grapple with those and how they decide which ones to do and what happens. Because what After Tiller means is this doctor, George Tiller, was famous for doing late-term abortions and was murdered
mm-hmm.
by an anti-choice man. And there are still about like six late-term abortion providers in the country. And we have two of them in Colorado. And then the other like four or five sort of travel around the country to treat women as needed. But we have one specifically in Boulder. And he just stays there and he provides late-term abortions. The reason this matters is that essentially if Colorado Care put to pass, everyone in the state would be covered by this state-run insurance program.
Right.
Paid for by taxes.
Right.
And that would prevent any women in Colorado from being able to have abortions, in some cases birth control, and particularly late-term abortions from being covered. Late-term abortions typically cost between $10,000 and $15,000.
Right.
So this is not a decision that's made lightly.
No.
Now, I hear you. Like, I know it's a small percentage of women, and I get it, but you have to think about these women that, like, their lives are at stake. They could die if they carry this child to term, and they only have one option for healthcare. And that option makes them produce $10,000 to $15,000 to get this life-saving treatment that is also devastating to them personally. And we're saying as a state, we're not going to do that. We're not allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I can't vote for. That's the abortion loophole that we were talking about.
Right.
And so there's been arguments on both sides that like, oh, well, the new law supersedes the old law, but that's definitely not precedent. And we can get into the legal framework of it later. But it's definitely not a thing that actually we would be able to do. Secondly, I'm going to make a kind of statement about universal healthcare. And here's what I'm going to say. Single payer. It really needs to be nationwide. And the reason I say that is we read through the blue book and we read through the law and we looked at it and we said, okay, so if Colorado is the only state to do this, right? And we say in just Colorado, we have this universal healthcare coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an exception. They say, of course you can have employer healthcare coverage. Of course you can have private insurance. Of course you can have all of these things. You can have all of those, but you still have to pay for the single payer coverage.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That means no employers are going to pay for coverage anymore.
Why would they?
Why? They still have to pay the fee for the single payer, right? So they're not going to pay two things. They're not going to pay for employer coverage and the single payer coverage that no one's using.
Well, does the law change in accordance with that where the businesses...
No. You have to pay no matter what. You can choose to pay additionally and provide your employees with healthcare coverage, but the state already provides all of your employees with healthcare coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So why the fuck would you pay both? Because you have to pay the tax, right? And they're like, you
really,
can
there's no exception written in if you supply employer.
No, yeah. no exception.
Yeah.
None.
So the Chamber of Commerce must be going apeshit over this. You know, I haven't heard much pro or against the law.
Because it's going to fail.
Because it's going to fail badly.
Yeah, badly. Yeah. So there's lots of reasons. And like, I'm not trying to be a Bernie Sanders hater because he came to Colorado to talk about this law.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think he fully understood it. Here's what I'm going to say about this. I am completely for a single payer system. But this single payer system needs to be nationwide.
Yeah.
It cannot be state by state.
Yeah.
Because what's going to happen is, like, currently I have insurance under Kaiser Permanente. That's a private insurer. That's through my husband's employer.
Right.
Why would Kaiser stay in Colorado? No employer is going to choose to pay for employee healthcare coverage and pay the tax for the single payer system. Right? They're just going to pay for the single payer system. They're mm-hmm. not going to additionally pay for me to have Kaiser. So Kaiser's going to move out of the state entirely, as are many private doctors and medical professionals. There's no reason for them to be here, especially things like Kaiser, because Kaiser is, if you don't know what it is, it's both an insurer and a provider.
Right.
So there's no reason for them to stay here because no one's going to be insured under them. So then the providers don't need to be here. So they're going to move out of the state. They're going to move to Wyoming and New Mexico and Nevada and Arizona and all the places around us because no one's going to have Kaiser here because everyone's going to be covered by Colorado Care. The problem is Colorado Care does not, where are the physicians? Who are they? Who's going to stay
here? The private physicians that now.
What? That are covered by, you know, what? Like, we're going to have basically like the brain drain of, you know, the Soviet Union sort of when like the German wall went up and then the brain drain happened. Like,
yeah,
there's not going to be any doctors that are going to stay here because they don't, there's no, if
you know, you're going to get a lot of flack for this because that's a very common conservative argument
But what I'm saying is if you do it on a state basis, one state does it, why would they stay in this one state? Yeah. I'm not saying all doctors are going to flee America. That's crazy. If we did it on a universal basis that was actually universal and every state was held to this standard, yes. If it's just Colorado, Kaiser's gone. Kaiser is one of the biggest health care providers that we have in the entire state.
Yeah, I had Kaiser before, yeah.
I have Kaiser now.
I had Kaiser under ACA, which I can get to in a minute. I have a good rant on that because that was in the news recently, yeah, too.
So, but why would Kaiser stay here? No one's going to have private insurance, because why would you pay for private insurance if you also have to pay the tax to get single payer?
Yeah.
You're just going to have single payer, but who are going to be the physicians? Now, if we do it on a nationwide basis, every doctor's not going to leave the country. Like, we'll figure it out. But if you do it on a state basis, just a single state, this is not like pot. This is not like a Petri dish, mm-hmm, where we can see if it works. This is a, I will literally just go to Wyoming, New Mexico, Nevada. Like, there's no reason Kaiser would stay in Colorado, because there's no one who's going to pay for Kaiser if they also have to pay a tax.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
And it's a pretty steep tax.
It is.
It's like 10%.
It is. It's a very steep tax. And so it's a tax about the relative cost of health insurance. And so there's really no reason to have private health insurance in the state anymore. Nobody's going to pay both. That would be doubling your health care costs.
So what else about Colorado Care has put you off on it? Are those the main two things?
Those are the main two things. Right. I think that health care is going to move out of our state. And I think that the abortion loophole is too massive. And I think that universal health care coverage is absolutely mandated by me for everybody, but it absolutely has to be nationwide or it will not work.
You know,
this is not a Petri dish conversation.
We've covered a lot more people in Colorado since the ACA with the exchanges and Medicaid expansion.
Absolutely.
So
also, that's another.
Not everybody is covered, but a lot of people, most everybody.
And the other coverage. Problem is that we have an issue with being reimbursed for the Medicaid expansion and for Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
That we're trying to say that doctors can provide care for these people, and then mm-hmm. they'll later get reimbursed by Medicare and Medicaid, which is pretty standard. But it has to go through the Colorado Care system.
Right.
And so that provides another reason for people to not. Like, it's too big, I think, a barrier for healthcare providers if it's not nationwide. If you know what, if you want to move to Canada or Puerto Rico, go ahead. But if you can just move to Wyoming or New Mexico or California, like, that's not enough an incentive to do so. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
So I literally shed a little tear voting against universal health care in my state, but I don't think this is a state issue. I think this is a federal issue.
On the heels of that, I want to tell an ACA story real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, please do.
Because it came out the other day that the ACA premiums for some people are going to go up as much as 25%.
Mm.
And that sounds like a lot. And yeah. that sounds drastic.
Yeah.
And of course, like we talked about, Republican spin was, you see, Obamacare is failing. It's horrible. We need to just rip it out, and it's screwing right. everything up.
Right.
Well, let me give you a reality check. In last year, in 2015, I lost my job.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, I got unemployment insurance for a few months. But what that meant was, because I was getting unemployment, I was not eligible for the expanded Medicaid. So
right.
I had to go get my own insurance. Now, fortunately here,
yes.
We have a state exchange.
Yes.
So COBRA, through my work, would have been like $1,000 a month.
Yep.
Just going on the wide open market without the exchange, which you can still do,
mm-hmm.
At least you could, would have been like $600 to $800 a month for a halfway decent plan. I couldn't yeah. afford that, obviously.
Obviously not, yeah.
On the exchange, I was able to get a silver plan with Kaiser
mm-hmm.
With a tax credit. And after the tax credit, it came to, I think, $150 to $160 a month.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good.
Right.
It wasn't perfect, but it was pretty damn good.
Right.
Preventative stuff was covered, and, you know, copays were reasonable, and anything dramatic was, it was pretty good.
If something, if you were hit by a bus,
I'd be all right.
You would
I wouldn't
be
go bankrupt
for the rest of your life.
No,
yeah.
no, it was, yeah. it was pretty good coverage for yeah. $150-$160 a month.
Right. Through the state exchange.
Through the state exchange.
Yes.
Now, if my premiums went up 25%, now, first of all, what they didn't tell you in all the hyperventilating over, and this was only a couple days ago, over the premiums going up, for most people, the tax subsidy they were getting was going to offset that anyway.
Right.
So it wouldn't have made a difference.
Right.
So to me, potentially, if I still, now I got a new job back in May,
and
new
yeah.
coverage, so I don't have to worry about that now. I'm not on the exchange. I have very good coverage through my employer, fortunately.
Yeah.
But back when I was on the exchange, I very easily could have had that covered by the increase in subsidy anyway. News didn't mention that.
Right.
Certainly Republicans didn't, and right. even MSNBC didn't. They were just like, oh, another big hit for Obamacare, and this is going to be a problem for Hillary.
Ugh.
And so what you're telling me is, okay, worst case scenario.
Even if that weren't true, that the subsidy would have covered it.
Right, right. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, my monthly premium that was $150 would have gone up to $180.
That's not 800 or 1,000 or 1,200.
No, no. So you want to tell me that I would be better off paying $1,000 a month for Cobra or 600 to 800 a month on the wide open market for a plan that might be comparable? Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Don't tell me you don't know what you're talking about. Either right. you've never needed the exchanges.
Yep.
You've never needed ACA. You don't know anybody who has, or you just don't care.
Right.
It's bullshit.
Not to mention, by the way, I will tell you this. My brother was dating a woman who got pregnant pre-ACA.
Mm-hmm.
And he had really good health insurance, but they were not married. And he tried to put her on his health insurance when she got pregnant because, goddamn, that's the and time that was, when you
and
need...
And that was a pre-existing condition.
They considered pregnancy a pre-existing condition and did not cover her.
Yeah.
So she had to go on Medicaid in order to have her pregnancy covered, which for all the folks out there listening who don't agree with me, that means we paid for it.
Yeah.
His employer would have paid for it had they been married or... she'd gotten his insurance pre-pregnancy. But pregnancy is a pre-existing condition. Tell me about that.
Same with cancer.
Moms out there. Pre-existing condition.
Which the ACA meant.
So she got on Medicaid.
Couldn't do that anymore.
She got on Medicaid. And she went to the worst hospital in Denver. And had pretty bad treatment. And everything turned out fine. Thank God. And they still ended up with about a $6,000 bill.
Sure, yeah.
And
so this is better, Republicans?
So
this is better?
Well, so my point is that right now, regardless of how you feel about a 25% increase in whatever the
In some people's premiums?
In some people's premiums, which would still account for way less than they would pay on the private market. My niece's mother... would have been covered by the baby's father's employer had insurance companies been under the ACA because they would not have been able to preclude her from coverage because there is no such thing as a pre-existing condition anymore. Pregnancy doesn't seem like one to me, but it was.
Yeah.
And so they ended up paying about $6,000 for pretty shitty care. Everything turned out fine. He had insurance. The baby then went on to have insurance. The mother still didn't, which cost even more money. But the point is that the ACA didn't just make the state exchanges. It also created the system that disallowed insurance companies from making this thing pre-existing exemptions.
Yeah, exactly.
From being a thing.
Exactly.
So you can't say, oh, you're pregnant? Yeah, we can't cover you now. Taxpayers are going to cover you. Kind of. And when you can't pay that $6,000 bill, which they could not, obviously, because they just had a fucking newborn baby, we're just going to basically write it off and taxpayers will pay that too.
Right.
Like, instead of having...
A system that works?
Yeah. Instead of having a system that works and saying, obviously, this woman is covered.
A system that is not perfect, but works pretty damn well, way better than it did before.
Way better than it did before.
Yeah.
For example, one more example, and then we can be done with this. I have endometriosis, which for all the ladies out there will tell you it's a nightmare. It is a chronic pain disorder. It also causes infertility and all kinds of cysts and just really fun stuff. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I was on my parents' insurance when I was 18. And then some things happened and they changed insurance companies. And I was no longer able to be covered under my parents' insurance. Because my endometriosis had previously been diagnosed when I was 18. And so that was a pre-existing condition. And so I was not able to be covered under my mom's insurance. And so I went through about 3 years where I was just didn't have insurance. And I was 18. And like no one would cover me because they're like, well, you have this pre-existing condition. And like, mm-hmm. we're not going to cover that. It was awful. Then they got on different insurance, and it was a sort of more of like a group method, and they couldn't disallow people and whatever. And right. So I was able to get treatment, but there was a 3-year period where I was just suffering under this system where they said, before your mom changed insurance companies, someone said you had a problem and we're not going to pay for that. So just suffer.
Yeah. Or die.
It, or what, let him die. I'm never going to die from this, but there are people that definitely
Oh, there
did.
Are people that do. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that was Republican plan. Remember the 2008 or 2012 Republican primary? What's your plan? Let him die? Yeah, let him die.
Yeah.
So don't tell me about repealing ACA or Obamacare and replacing it with something better. Show me the something better and we'll talk. You don't have something better. You just don't want Obamacare anymore. You just want people to be uninsured.
Yes.
That's what you want. Like the good old days.
Not to mention, this was the Republican plan, right? The thing that people are always bashing Hillary about is back in the 90s, she said, I want universal healthcare coverage.
Yes.
She did not say single payer, but she said universal healthcare coverage. And the Republicans came out and they said, fuck you, no, here's our plan. We still want private insurance.
Yeah.
We don't want to have government insurance.
Right.
Because that would be like some fantasy land where you wait in line for 20 days
old Soviet
to
Union.
Whatever.
With
right?
all the scare tactics they used.
Yeah. And they were like, we would like all these things. And they laid out this fucking plan. And that plan is Obamacare, essentially, with a couple of tweaks. But essentially, the Republican plan of the 1990s, when they were fighting against Hillary Clinton, was what we ended up with Obamacare.
More or less.
And I know that sounds crazy, but I swear to God it's true. And now the Republicans have tried to repeal it like 62 times.
They're still talking about it. They're still campaigning
like,
on it. Donald Trump is campaigning on it.
It's their plan. This is not what Hillary Clinton wanted. She didn't want a private insurance program.
And an individual mandate.
No. She wanted...
Individual mandate was very much a Republican thing.
Very much so. Because that helps the insurance companies.
Yeah, yeah. It helps them make money.
Because that's the only way insurance companies can survive. Hillary Clinton didn't give a shit if insurance companies survived.
And guess what?
They had
a lot of lobbyists.
She wanted a single payer
system.
And
now they turn around and blame that. Oh, well, look at Obama in cahoots with the insurance industry. It's like,
this was your plan.
This was your compromise.
And I'm not making this up. This was legitimately their plan in the 90s.
Yeah.
Was like, individual mandate, we'll still have private insurance companies.
Well, Mitt Romney
made it work in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Literally. And then he was like, well, it's not Obamacare. It's Medicare. Like, he had no explanation because the plan that Obama was able to enact was not a Democratic plan, which, you know, we talked about this last week a little bit. Like, I'm a little critical of his first term in terms of what he was able to get done because he used all of his political capital, Barack Obama, I mean,
to get ACA.
Obamacare, yeah. ACA, and it ended up being a Republican plan, which I don't think he wanted.
That the Republicans used as a bludgeon against him in 2010.
Right, and then no one is talking about how, like, in the 90s, Hillary Clinton was railing against them and saying, no, I don't want private insurance anymore. The whole point is we don't need an individual mandate because we don't need private insurance because everyone has a right to being insured.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't need individual private insurance companies. We need a universal system.
Yeah, the priority shouldn't be these insurance companies turning maximum profits.
It should be people being covered.
Yeah.
And that was her goal back then. And so when people talk to me right now about how Hillary is pretty like conservative and not really liberal and maybe Bernie has a better idea about healthcare, I kind of want to like vomit on their face because she literally fought against Obamacare because it was not liberal enough in the 90s. And then Barack Obama, your hero, was like, that's all we can get done.
Which is true.
Which is true. And it is way better than what we had before. And I'm not trying to shit on it. But I'm saying, like, please don't fucking talk to me about Hillary and healthcare right now and tell me, like, anything. Like, this was the Republican plan from the 90s that Barack Obama was able to get passed in 2008 when he had both houses of Congress. And I'm grateful, and it's way better than what we had before. But do not this is not what the ultimate goal is.
So we got a few minutes left. Let's talk about something that got completely overshadowed in the news, and I don't think hardly anybody out here knows about it.
Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas.
Oh, my God.
So do you know the details of the story? Do you want to relate them?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Back in the 90s, and I don't have, like, the specific, you know, like...
Are you talking about Anita Hill, 1991?
No.
99. Oh, no, you're talking about this new allegation.
Yes.
Yeah, this was 99, yes. 99, apparently, when he was already a justice.
Yes, he was a justice. There was a young woman who was a fellow as a part of a program through her law school, and she went to a dinner where Clarence Thomas was present. And before the dinner happened, it was like kind of cocktail hour, right? Mm-hmm. And they were wandering around, and he was a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
And so she was talking to him. Yeah. And he grabbed her by the waist and then moved his hand onto her ass and grabbed it and pulled her toward him and asked her where she was sitting. And she said, she's like 22. And she moved away from him and started talking to someone else. And he came back over to her and grabbed her by the ass again, pulled him toward her and said, "You're sitting by me." And she said, "XYZ person, I don't remember his name, but he was the host of the party, is really particular about seating, so I don't think I'm sitting next to you." And he said, "I could fix that." And she moved away from him and did not end up sitting next to him.
Thank God.
Yeah. This is in 99, so he's already a Supreme Court justice at this point. Anita Hill stuff's way long gone. So I don't know anyone who doesn't believe that that happened, first of all. Of course he did that. But what's interesting to me is that the media wants to find corroborating evidence of it, right? Which is really hard. And we've talked about this before. Like,
yeah,
it's the only kind of case where the victim has to provide evidence. Mm-hmm. Right. But they did. So she had three roommates at the time. Mm-hmm. Two of them were law fellows and one of them was some other thing.
And she told them immediately.
All of them. That same night or the next morning, "Oh my God, this is what happened to me."
And Clarence Justice Thomas grabbed my Clarence, ass.
Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas did this XYZ. And they all recounted it exactly the same way. All of them were like, "Yeah, no, she told me like immediately that this happened." Then they talked to her boyfriend at the time, who she's not with anymore.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh yeah, no, she totally said that that happened. Yeah. She said like she went to this dinner party and he like grabbed her ass and groped her and tried to get her to sit next to him. And she like wouldn't. And yeah, totally." Which is the media's way of saying she's not lying, which is completely dehumanizing and awful that we have to do that. But it is a thing that we do. And it has been corroborated 4 times in that way that the media wants to corroborate things, which is she told someone about it at the time. So I guess that means she's telling the truth other than she's just telling the truth. And there are so many reasons women don't tell anyone, especially when it's someone like that. So let's just give it up to those women who didn't
tell anybody. Supreme Court justice.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
Or in the Anita Hill case, your boss, you're young and just trying to make your way up through the ranks of the, you know.
And you're with him every day, so he does far worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, knowing the Anita Hill case and then listening to this woman's story is like, yeah, of course he did. Of course.
Well,
of course he did that. It's not even a question for me.
Again, and we talked about this before, the possible silver lining to the disgusting gray cloud that is the Trump campaign.
Yes.
Maybe that more women who have faced this, and you can claw back to Cosby too, which is very recent, and who have powerful men have used their power to sexually abuse or assault them, are hopefully going to feel more empowered now to say, you know what?
And then just because of Roger Ailes. Like,
yeah, Roger Ailes.
I mean,
we forget about him. Like, yeah.
He paid, what, $20 million to Gretchen Carlson?
But these were also powerful women in place of authority. God knows what Roger Ailes might have done to interns.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Or what other powerful men have done to poor interns or somebody's niece or, you know, what have you.
To every woman you know. To every woman you've ever met. Promise. We've all got a story.
So, or five. Because this woman decided to come out, and that's fine. It's her prerogative to come out when or never come out. Whenever
she feels
like it. Yeah. But unfortunately, because it was right in the middle of this friggin' campaign,
yeah,
it got completely buried. And I don't think it's going to see the light of day past us.
I don't either.
And a couple of publications.
And
Unless more women come out.
Really nihilistic argument about this, which was like, it's not bad enough for anyone to care about.
What the fuck does that mean?
It means that he didn't rape her. And I have to tell you, it came from a woman. And I think communally, all women went, I know.
God.
Because, oh, he grabbed her ass and said a thing. Like, how many times has that happened to you? Like, I can't count. I can't count the number of times.
And when you said that, like, I literally got nauseous.
So, like, you're just like, oh, God, thank God you came out and said, like, a Supreme Court justice did it. But, like, if every woman came out, I don't even know what would happen. Like, the world would stop because you couldn't stop. If there was no statute of limitations, the entire justice system would break down for 50 years because there would be no end of... We just look at it and go, oh, how brave. Good for you.
No, what an asshole. You know what?
But, you know, like,
sadly,
it's like,
Rach, I think it's the opposite. Because think about Trump. When he made his comments, everyone was horrified and disgusted. When a woman came out and corroborated, oh, no, he did that. Like, people were like, oh, shit. Second time, oh, another one. The third time, mm-hmm. fourth, mm-hmm. fifth. And now we're up to 12 and it's passé.
But I'm...
And this was, what, 2-3 weeks ago this all started?
But it's not just Trump.
No, it's not. You're right.
It's the larger culture of two things. I think most men looking at this and thinking that's not possible. It's not possible that every woman I've ever known has been, like, groped. That's just not that's just not a thing. They just can't grapple with the idea that that's true. And women sort of going, oh, fuck, really? Him? Yeah, that makes sense. It happened to me like 8 million times. Like, it just happens so often that, like, you become a little bit numb to it. And
You
have to, or you can't get through the world.
Right. Yeah.
And I think the thing that this Trump campaign has done has said, like, at least for me and for the women since our last podcast that I've talked to about it, that have said, like, oh, yeah, I didn't think that was a thing either. That 27 things that happened to me, I never considered that assault. I just considered that
gross
a part of my life.
Yeah.
And these women coming out and being so brave and saying, oh, this happened to me and it was wrong, even for me has been like, oh, fuck that. Yeah, that happened to me for sure. Like, yep. No, that one too. No. Oh, if we're talking about that, like, I think women have been like, oh, God, right. We have to stop normalizing men assaulting us and start talking about it like it is the thing that it is, which if it happened, like, it is a problem and it is wrong and men should not do it and women are not to blame and coming out is not their fault. But the normalizing of that kind of behavior is a thing.
Well, isn't that the frightening part though? Because let's say Trump loses by 3 or 5 or even 7.
Yeah.
We've basically said, yeah, that's all right. That's okay. I mean, women haven't. I mean, he's going to do much more poorly with women, but it's not going to be 90-10. Right? It'll be more like 60-40.
But you got to understand, we've already said that. We've already said it's okay because it happens every day, all the time. And no one says anything and no one cares. And when you say something, no one does anything. We're already in that society where no one cares.
But isn't it like more frighteningly symbolic when it's the potential president of the United States or a guy who came very close to being president and is on record as saying, yeah, I do this. And it's been corroborated a dozen times that, yeah, he does this. And yeah, he lost, but just by a couple points, like whatever.
I think men are much more scandalized by this than women. I really do. I think women look at this and go, oh, he's one of those guys. Yeah. Yeah. And men go, what the fuck? Like normal average dudes who don't assault women go, what the fuck is that? I don't do that. And men don't do that. What is that? And we go, he's one of those guys.
Yeah, but Trump's going to win the male vote.
Yeah. Lots of men do these things. Or we wouldn't all have stories.
Anyway, unfortunately, we're out of time. And on that cheery note.
Cheerful note.
Oh, what a week. We have one more show.
We do.
Before the election. We are not going to broadcast on election night. No,
we will not be capable of doing that. Sorry. No.
Don't know.
We'll be celebrating or crying, and I can't do a podcast.
Or both.
Or God knows what.
God knows what we'll be doing.
We'll try to drinking, do some special.
Drinking bleach.
Literally, like, pouring bleach on my eyes. No. We'll try to do something special next week. Sorry, it ended on such a lousy note, but you know, if you're a lady, you get it.
And if you're a man, maybe you're starting to.
Hopefully.
Okay, it's gonna do it for us. I have been Travis.
I'm Rachel.
Thanks so much. Stay active, stay tuned, stay involved, vote, and drag everybody else you know out to vote.
And take care of yourselves. It's almost done.
It's almost over. All right, good night.